Yeah, Willie Desitov is no doubt one of the greatest dancers that ever lived. Not only because of his importance in the evolution of the history of vernacular dance, but also because of the fact of his ability level. Here's one of these rare individuals that was just born with a rhythm that very, very few people are born with. I'm sure if you've spoken to him, he'd tell you some amazing stories of just how dedicated a dancer he was, and what he brought to the dance, not only physically but mentally. His psychological aspects and outlooks on the dance are those that are just undaunted with other dancers and in a depth that's uncomprehensible to most people today, especially, I mean, even trained ballroom dancers. It just goes right over their heads. It takes a very special person to understand music and dance to even to get on his wavelength sometimes because of his incredible knowledge and his outlooks in the dance. His style is very unusual. I believe Willie's always considered himself specifically just a swing dancer, and of course by that he means the LA style of swing. But his rhythms obviously are very closely, if not wholeheartedly, Balboa based as well. He's one of those guys that achieved smoothness in a way that it's just unfeasible to watch on film. Especially in some of his clips when he was really kicking up the storm, you could almost put a book on his head, no doubt, with a glass of water on top, even at fast tempos, and he wouldn't spill a drop. And his footwork and his sliding abilities are incredible. Again, as far as his wearing off on me, without a doubt. I'm probably one of those first kids that went out and bought a pair of moccasins and started putting paraffin wax on them and stuff. People thought I was crazy showing up to dances with paraffin wax on the bottom of my moccasins. But hey, that's one of Maxie's little tricks to the trade in order to get to smooth and fast. And there's a method to his madness, no doubt. But if you don't mind the look of wearing moccasins in a ballroom, you can capture that. It is possible. Another thing that has always stuck in my mind is the fact that you can practice alone, and it's something I've always spilled forward into my lessons. When I do workshops around the world, I definitely always mention the fact that practicing by yourself is absolutely 100% a must if you want to dance as good as someone like, it's definitely as good as someone like, you know, Maxie or Willie. It's just, you can't do it unless you've got to practice every second of the day. And you grab that doorknob and armor all that linoleum floor or wax that wood floor and practice by yourself. It can't be stressed enough. And again, that's all Willie. If it wasn't for Willie, there would be a huge gap missing in our vernacular dance because of his unique style. And he, in turn, really affected a lot of dancers here in Los Angeles at the Ross 54 Ballroom. Dancers like Jack Helwig, dancers like Nate Arkin, Jack Arkin, even Connie Wydell, who was a shag dancer, was extremely influenced by Willie Desitov. It really made his shag a much smoother dance. So Willie not only influenced other swing dancers and other Balboa dancers and other Lindy dancers, but also other shag dancers, other ballroom dancers. Anybody that witnessed Willie dancing on the floor was immediately drawn to his style. Another thing that's never talked about in history too is the fact that it's a little something it's kind of a little perk is the fact that many dancers today say Willie could do Dean Collins' whip better than Dean Collins, and that's something people don't talk about. The whip being a very special a structured 8-count move in which Dean's Lindy is based upon. Dean trademarked that as his stylistic way to do it. However, upon Willie learning it, really mastered it to a point that's almost like a lot of those old timers saying, Willie could do Dean's whip better than Dean. And if, again, only those that could witness Willie's dancing could really attest to the fact that he's really an icon in the history of American vernacular dance. And I couldn't say enough about it. Being on the spot here, just kind of going off the top of my head, I feel I'm almost not doing it just because... again, a book could be written specifically on him, and it should be in every university across the country, no doubt about it. For anybody that wants to learn about the history of vernacular dance, especially pertaining to the Western United States, which is so grossly overlooked in our jazz as well as jazz dance history. So again, my hat's off to these people, and I have a large job to do with trying to... document as much as I possibly can, as obviously in a limited amount of time, this aspect of our history. And I can only thank everybody that's willing to partake in this type of stuff for school. Anybody that does this needs to have grants more readily available to them to actually document this stuff and make it accessible for the generations to come. Like I said, not only for our history, for dance, but also the history of our American history and the jazz music as well, because of the fact that the dancers saw more bands than any musicians really did see, and the dancers were the ones that went and saw every different band every single night, and the dancers were the ones that so many band leaders went to ask for advice on what to play. Band leaders like Count Basie, Duke Ellington, like I mentioned earlier, Bob Crosby, Harry James, who also bought a ballroom out here in Los Angeles, Artie Shaw. These people went to dancers so much to see what it was they wanted, what they liked, and who was the best, and of course they picked out the better dancers. It was the better dancers that they asked to go on tour with them. And again, dancers like Willie Desitov, they were the ones. Hal Tekir, they were the ones. And they had very close bonding relationship with these band leaders all through history and can really bring out a different aspect of the music that has never been written about. Normally when we pick up books, we look at people that are proclaimed jazz historians and so forth. And they give you their points as far as a musician's point of what the music was about, but not the dancer's point. And like I said, it really was those dancers that got into those rhythms and those players really more than the musicians themselves in many instances. So again, documenting their life history, documenting what they thought of the music, what they think of what really the dance is all about, is these are the ones that really are on the cutting edge of what American history really is all about. I can only say I wish there was more people out there documenting it, and it's going to be gone, the blink of an eye, and no one's going to ever know who these people were.